There's a new study out from scientists in California, and this one could keep you awake at night. Based on surveys of more than a million people over age 30, the researchers say the risk of dying goes up if you sleep more than 7 hours per night. But as NPR's Joe Palca reports, it's not all bad news for those who like to sleep late.
Sleep is essential for life. But apart from that rather straightforward observation, there's a lot scientists don't know about sleep, like how much sleep is the right amount.
You don't need to sleep 8 hours. People who slept 5, 6, or 7 hours actually had slightly lower mortality than those who slept 8 hours or more.
Daniel Kripke is a sleep researcher at the University of California in San Diego. Kripke and his colleagues have been studying sleep duration and mortality. In the current study, published in the Archives of General Psychiatry, they looked at a group of 1.1 million adults who filled out a questionnaire about their sleep habits in 1982, and then followed these people for 6 years. Kripke says the people who slept 7 hours had the lowest risk of dying over that 6-year period.
The study also showed that people who reported insomnia did not have increased mortality unless they used sleeping pills. People who said they used sleeping pills every night had 25% increased mortality risk.
But there are a number of things you have to bear in mind when interpreting this result. First, as with all survey data, it's not possible to know how accurately people reported the amount they slept. Next, there's the question of who participated in the study. Subjects were healthy, but they were not selected at random. Instead, the American Cancer Society recruited them to see how many would develop cancer. This could have affected the findings. And then there's the issue of something called relative risk. Kripke and his colleagues measured the increased likelihood of someone dying who sleeps, say, 8 hours per night. That was about 10% in Kripke's study. Statistician Daniel Foley of the National Institute on Aging says that number has to be compared to the absolute risk of dying.
You're talking about what is the absolute risk of dying, and if it's 1 in 100,000, what is a 10% increase in that risk? Well, it means 1.1 in 100,000, and, that maybe that's not too much.
In other words, a small increase in a tiny risk is still a tiny risk, says Foley.
Typically, when we look for studies, we try to look for things that come out along the lines of doubling your risk, or maybe making something along the lines of a 50% increase in risk.
Foley says when you study a really large number of people, over a million in the Kripke study, you see differences that may be statistically real, but are not all that important.
If you line the data up, somebody's going to have the lowest risk, but at what point do you say this is clinically relevant?
By clinically relevant, Foley means an observation that would prompt physicians to recommend changes to their patients. Foley is not sure the new study reaches that point. Dan Kripke agrees that his results are not compelling enough to urge people to alter their sleep patterns.
We are not recommending that long sleepers set the alarm clock and get up earlier. The study does not show that that would be recommended.
Instead, Kripke says the study should reassure people who've been told over and over that they ought to be getting 8 hours of sleep per night.
If somebody sleeps less than 8 hours, as most people do, the average American only sleeps 7 hours. As long as they're not sleepy during the day, they have nothing to worry about.
That's reassuring. What would be more reassuring is if scientists could finally figure out why we sleep in the first place. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.